Hello, and welcome to NARC, Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Collaborators, home to NARC Troopers. Today, the topic of our podcast vlog is Tits Up! Tits Up! So after the devastation of the discard, leverage the opportunity to reinvent a new 2.0 version of yourself. You know, that's kind of what you have to do. I know that that's not what most people want to think about doing. You're so lost and overwhelmed with what has happened that it's almost impossible to conceive that you could turn this into anything that was a good thing, that there could be a silver lining. And I sure didn't want to hear that for a couple of years. This has been, for me, it's been 3 years and 4.5 months since the discard when I was tossed aside. And, you know, I couldn't hear this. I didn't want to hear it. I was like, wanted to choke them out when they would say, you know, this is an opportunity for growth and this is a blessing. And I would just think, you're out of your freaking mind. There's no way this is any of that. But now, 3 years and 4.5 months later, I think that it really is an opportunity to reinvent ourselves. And in a way, you know, it is kind of a blessing. So here we go. Here's the article. So tits up, according to the dictionary, is broken, failed, inoperable, dead. And that just about says it all, doesn't it? I mean, that is what has happened to us, those of us who have been discarded by Cluster B partner. The collateral damage of narcissistic discard leaves us broken, failed, and inoperable. Essentially, they murder us and we're dead. My daughter's choir teacher used to tell her and the choir group at her high school, he would say, his name was Mr. T, and Mr. T would say, tits up. And that would be sort of like to give your diaphragm space to be able to project your singing. Also to imply, be plucky. Be brave. Don't be nervous about going out there on stage and getting up on those risers and belting out those songs. Tits up. That's not exactly what we're talking about today, but it does seem to be good advice, right? But this isn't that kind of tits up, what has happened to us. It's not the shoulders back kind of good posture kind of thing. I'm talking about the kind of road kill, kind of lying by the side of the road, pavement patty, dead animal, you know, tits up to the sky, long forgotten by whoever plowed them down in the car and sped on down the highway without ever looking back or noticing, oblivious to the harm that they have created, right? That's the kind of tits up that we're talking about. So it's that reckless and intoxicated driver who is the narcissist, and we, my friends, are the fellow folks in recovery. Well, we're the roadkill. That's kind of the analogy that I would like to make here. We're the roadkill, pavement patty, lying tits up in the middle of the road. And so one of my favorite people that is a Cluster B authority, who is, well, he's a little bit off his rocker a little bit, but he's a genius. So, you know, I have found that more often than not, people who are super, super gifted intellectually, it's like their brain couldn't hold all that genius, so it made them a little, you know, what is a nice word? Like, mentally impaired in some areas to make room for all the genius. Like they're a little bit nutty in some way. Maybe they have a cluster B disorder. Maybe it's something else. I've seen that. I've seen it a lot, actually. Seems pretty common. So anyway, this guy that I know who is pretty famous. He has like millions of people who read his work. He says, what does he say? He says, he said there is that the narcissist is a gift, an angel. That's what he says. The narcissist is a gift, an angel. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it takes one to know one, or but a gift, an angel, I'm not sure those are the words that I would use to describe my ex-husband of 15 long years, who was the covert somatic. I'm not sure that I would call him a gift or an angel. But let's think about this. When we're lying face down in the smoldering ruins of what was once an enchanted life, as in the shared fantasy bubble, it's pretty enchanted when you're in the bubble, right? Nothing like it. But when you're so. When all of your happily ever after dreams and illusions have just gone tits up, it is impossible to think of the narcissist as a harbinger of good. It's just, it sure doesn't feel that way. They're like maybe a catalyst for this divine opportunity to cut out the cancer that was killing us all along, or at least to wake us up and make us aware that we're full of something toxic, like a cancer that we need to get rid of. So, like they're there to help us make a healthier, happier version of ourselves. Yeah. So, to make matters worse, the whole world seems to be tits up right now, while you are also suffering from this whole system collapse that happens after the discard. I don't know what stage you're in, but I'm assuming if you're watching this, listening to this, that something has happened to you. You have been the misfortunate target of a narcissist or other cluster B person. So, in the middle of all of these uncertainties, you have been eviscerated, cut open, gutted, hollowed out like a Halloween pumpkin. That's an apt metaphor for this holiday season. But you have to, let's think of it this way. When you are hollowed out and emptied out like that, you might as well be dead, because they have scooped out your essence. They have scooped out your life force and your identity. Don't you feel that? You feel it, don't you? That they took that. It's like an existential crisis. You no longer feel that you exist, at least not in the capacity that you once did. You've been obliterated, torpedoed, annihilated, and you feel it. You've been erased, forgotten, expunged, and it feels like so. Herein lies an opportunity. Here again, we're hearing that. You may not be ready to hear it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Through this death that we experience, this complete and utter devastation, which in most ways, is the narcissist fatal push that compels you to experience this dark night of the soul. When that happens, it's not for the faint of heart, right? Or the weak spirited. It is the work that we have spent our lives trying to escape and avoid. Probably we have issues of our own. We have, for me, I have abandonment issues, attachment issues, dependent personality disorder. I have borderline traits. Quite a few things. I have childhood wounding, toxic scripting, and programming from early childhood. I have developmental interruptions caused by this early childhood between the ages of 2 and 6 kind of failure to get the updates and the software installation that I needed to run efficiently through my life. How's that for a technology metaphor? That we've spent our lives trying to run away from that, or to maybe not to escape it, but to anesthetize it, medicate it, self-medicate, use another person to have them fix it, like make them responsible for our own lack of ability to regulate ourselves. We've been a sacrificial lamb. That has enabled the gods of these false people, these false selves, to feel that they can live more abundantly through us and through destroying us, that gives them a kind of freedom and individuation that they did not achieve when they were going through their childhood. They didn't get what they needed, and in many ways, their coping mechanism was to just retreat into a fantasy world. Just to retreat into a fantasy and build a false persona. And they murdered their authentic self. Parts of it were murdered, and parts just never developed. Part of this is that like a brain development thing that didn't happen the way it should have. And so they have essentially sort of like permanent brain damage caused by that, So anyway, your reward for everything that you give up for them, well, you had to die in order to be reborn again. And it could be a profound blessing in disguise if you accept it. During this time where you're trying to crawl out of your despair and find some footing on unstable territory during that time, it's very hard to try to figure out what to do next, because your whole sense of what was real collapses, because you realize that what you were doing wasn't real. Right, it wasn't happening, and so when you fall back to earth and you hit the ground, it knocks the breath out of you, and you don't know how to move forward after that. It's very frightening because you're left almost with nothing of your previous belief systems or survival systems or coping systems. It's like it wipes it all clean. It's gone. You don't have that to fall back on, so you don't know what to do. It burns everything to the ground, and maybe that's a good thing. The whole, like a forest, if it burns up, it comes back stronger. It's sort of a natural part of the cycle of nature or something. Maybe you could look at it that way. But this whole reinvention of yourself and your identity is quite amazing, because you're getting to have a do-over. How many people get that? An actual second chance to grow, to give birth to yourself, and to create a self of your own making, where you're in charge and you're parentifying, parenting yourself the healthy way, the right way. So free of trauma and exploitation. So anything that helps you to create boundaries, to wake up from this dream or face your demons and everything, and to emerge as the beautiful, amazing, independent, strong person that you are, is a good thing. And it can be cathartic in the long run, because Narcissistic abuse and all of this probable dysfunction in your own childhood, it's sooner or later, it's complex PTSD, it's complex trauma. And sooner or later, you need to work through it. You need to face it. You need to peel back the layers upon layers upon layers of cyclical, perhaps generational trauma and toxic scripting to get to that child version of yourself that needs to be parented and guided towards a better path, that where you can create an outcome and relationships and a future that's healed and healthy and whole, and it's not contingent upon validation from external forces who are usually not okay. These external forces that, we tend to attract because of our low vibration level, it's not good for us. It has an unhappy ending. They don't love us. One of the saddest things about my situation is that my mother was mentally ill and my dad was absent. I mean, he was technically there, but he was never there. And so when, as I became an adult, I chose people who felt like home, who were familiar. And my first husband, definitely not okay. And even though he was brilliant, he was a physician, he was a doctor. Even though he was super smart, he was super not okay mentally. And I did that because that's what I knew. That's what I thought was the way it is. And then I kind of stumbled along and I did it again. A second time, same thing. I picked another person who was unwell, mentally unwell, and had cluster B disorders and who knows what else. I don't know, probably other comorbidities that I suspect, but I don't know. But do you see the cyclical nature of that? How I repeated that dynamic over and over? We all tend to do that until something happens to finally say, enough. Enough. We know how this ends, and we don't want that outcome to continue right up until the moment that we just die and we're out of time. We want to stomp on the brakes and say, wait a second. I don't want my legacy to be that of a life of never being loved by anyone, never being really loved by anyone because they're mentally ill. They can't. They don't know what it is. They can't give you something they don't have. So, yeah, it's daunting to think about the hard work of creating yourself all over again. But, when you consider the alternative, it is an opportunity. It is a second chance. It is something that is a blessing that you're getting a chance to fix yourself, to heal yourself, and stop the toxic patterns that you've kept repeating over and over again. When you have that incredible epiphany that you have been brainwashed your whole life, then you will start to see brain patterns for what they are. And that's a powerful thing. It's a powerful reckoning because you can, the brain has neural plasticity. You can grow parts of your brain, dendrites and neural pathways. And the narcissist, their brain is just lacking. They can't do that with their brains because, like, they're lacking gray matter. There's just nothing there to work with. It's atrophied and shriveled and desiccated and it's not, you could probably see it on a MRI or a CT scan. You could see that their brain doesn't look like a normal brain. And you're trying to hang on to this person and you're grieving. You can't even breathe without them. You can't function without them. You don't know what to do without them. They were the ones leading you through the wilderness, through the darkness, when they are, they're missing part of their brain. And the part that's there doesn't work right. And they don't have empathy or compassion or love or guilt or remorse or morals or just, any of that could go on and on. They don't have it. They can't ever give it to you because they don't have it. So, trauma has been studied a lot, and they say if you have too much trauma, that's a bad thing. It's going to be hard to overcome that. They say if you never have trauma, you've never experienced it at all, that in itself is not good. You need to have just the right amount of trauma so you can learn how to respond to it and manage it, but not be overwhelmed or underwhelmed by it. So I could read you all kinds of studies here from Current Directions in Psychological Science by Mark D. Seary, PhD. I could read you another one. I've got notes here. Hold on. Author Jim Rendon of he wrote Upside, The New Science of Post-Traumatic Growth. And I've got a bunch of sources here. They talk about how 75% of people will experience a traumatic event in their lifetime, which will cause great suffering. I want to be that other one fourth. Right? That's what I would like. But yeah, that's not what I got. So, 75% are going to have some awful trauma, and the trauma can act as a catalyst pushing these people to change for the better. There is a term, I'm going to learn something new today. Here it is. Da, 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 da. PT. Oh, wait, is that right? I think I flubbed that up. Where'd it go? It's a new word that you may not know. It's PTG, not PTSD. It's PTG, and it stands for post-traumatic growth. Post-traumatic growth. PTG. Sorry about that. I lost my place. I got my notes on my phone here. See, this is how I'm doing this. I got my notes on my phone so I don't forget what I'm talking about. But I'm not going to read you all the boring like studies and stuff. Just know that this is all science-based, proven, researched. I'm not just making up stuff. It's for real. It's impossible to accept these kinds of truths, especially when you're fresh out, of the relationship. You've just been discarded or you just escaped. You probably cannot do this yet. It's going to take a while. It took me over a year, maybe a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years to finally wrap my mind around this concept that I had to use this as an opportunity and a blessing. Those first 2 years or so, I was like, oh, hell no. There's no way this is an opportunity or a blessing. This is so unfair. It hurts so bad. I am so destroyed. I can't go on. I can't live. I can't function. I'm not okay. I'm never going to be okay. And to think about it this other way, it took a while. It took a while to get there. And so if you're not there, you're not there. Just know that at some point, this is an inevitable place that you will arrive. And when it does, you need to accept it and embrace it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Your grief and shock and confusion will diminish over time, and you'll have to understand and accept this opportunity. Chances are that the majority of people who are in these relationships with cluster Bs, the ones that stay for years or decades, they have layers, layers of lifelong trauma and abuse that they have to come to terms with. And the narcissist was a way to escape the reality of the pain and a way to soothe. That's what borderlines do. It's a soothing strategy when they attach to a narcissist, which is a very common pairing. They attract one another. They both get what they need, at least for a good while, sometimes for a long while. but it's not, it's not what you think it is. It's very dysfunctional. So you come out of your fantasy bubble and this mutual psychosis, because you're both playing roles to get what you want, whether it's fuel or soothing or external validation or what. And when you're out of it, you just have to go through this process. You parentified one another, so it's kind of like losing a child. Or it's like losing a parent, because in a way that narcissist functions as a parent to you, and then they kind of shift, and then at some point they become your child and they parentify you, and you become their mom. There's all this kind of crazy, wacky role swapping that happens in these relationships. And then on top of all that, there's enmeshment, where you merge and have this kind of symbiosis that is not healthy. You should never just become one and dissolve, like an Alka-Seltzer tablet. You don't even know what that is. That's not a thing anymore, Alka-Seltzer. But you don't want to dissolve into a, let's see what y'all know, maybe a emergency tablet. How about those? Do you know those? They're the ones you drop in the water and they fizz and dissolve, and then you drink it and you're not supposed to get sick. So you don't want to do that with a human. You don't want to dissolve in them. You don't want them to dissolve in you, and you become all one big messy soupy stew of yuckiness. That's not healthy. We seek refuge and sanctuary within the confines of this other person. It's maladaptive. You have archaic wounds, and those wounds, those gaping holes in your aura, are the things that attract you to one another, you and the unhealthy, mentally impaired person. So it is important to separate from them and to create your own self, your egocentric self. Because if you don't do that, this whole oneness thing, it's never going to work. It's not going to last. So what else do I want to say? Let me look at my notes. You have to learn to self-validate. The narcissist comes to wake us up, to show us how it could have been and should have been in our childhood. They let us live in their fantasy garden of delight, only to cast us out in the end. They murder us in every sense of the word. And if we just lie there, tits up, we're back to the tits up. If you just lie there, tits up, up to the sky, well, you have a choice to make. You can play dead and just stay in place, as the cars and the semis just run over your carcass. Carcass, that's an awful word. Every day, just smashing you, pulverizing you worse and worse. Or the other alternative is you can take your mangled and bloody self and somehow crawl or get yourself off of the road, out of the harm's way, crawl to safety, and resurrect a new and improved version of yourself. So, to have the ability to bring yourself back to life, to resurrect yourself in an almost religious kind of phenomena, to give birth to a new, fresh self that has control over your life for the first time, probably, to redefine yourself, to learn to live and to love yourself, to create the life you always wanted but never knew how to get. We have to give this to ourselves. We don't turn it over to other people who are damaged and disordered and expect them to do it for us. We have to turn inwards. So, like Mr. T, my daughter's choir teacher, with his whole tits up thing, I think that's good advice, because It's about confidence. It's about believing that you can just get out there and do what you need to do. Send it out there to the world and let them receive it. And it's about just singing your heart out like you've never sung before. And you do it. And even though you're scared and your knees are trembling and you're weak and you're nauseous and dizzy and you feel like you're going to fall right off that riser, smash flat on your face, and everybody's going to see it. Doesn't matter, because you don't. You don't fall off the riser. You don't crash and burn like that. You just keep singing. And, you know, don't lock your knees. Just kind of, you develop strategies. You develop techniques to manage everything that you're facing that's hard. And you remember that, yeah, even though you don't want to think about it, what has happened to you, it really is an opportunity. It really is a blessing. And even though you think you love them, maybe you do really love them. You're also addicted to them. You could be both. You could really love them and be have the whole learned helplessness kind of dependent addiction to them, because you love them, but then you also depend on them for way too much to complete you and all of that. And so that's not a good thing. So let's just try to keep all this in perspective, and don't be intimidated by what you need to do, because you have to just do it. You don't have a choice, do you? You can just lay there in the road and get smashed, mutilated every day. Get up. Get out of the road. Maybe lay in the ditch for a while until you can have the strength to stand up. But you got to get up and get going. You really have to. And once you start moving and you're standing, you know, there will be people who will help you. They'll bandage your wounds. They'll help you. And then you can find the space. You can find the courage to create something wonderful that you've never had before, so that this never happens to you again. Okay, so that's my message for today. And thank you for listening. And I'm trying this new whole video podcast on Spotify. Typically, I don't have people see me. I'm not the most photogenic at the end of the day. And I don't have the whole polished people to come on and do my hair and makeup and dress me and make it look all smooth like that. But my message is researched and sound truth that I'm speaking to you from the heart, because I just don't want anybody to suffer and to go through what I did, oh my gosh, and to not know what's happening to them, and to be freaking out, because it's like, what is this, you know? Everybody's saying, just get over it. What's the matter with you? Do you need to go to the hospital? Do you need to go to the loony bin? And the answer was probably because I'm not okay, and I don't know what's happening to me. But this is what's happening to you. It's the aftermath of being with a cluster B disordered person who has brainwashed you. They have seduced you. They have manipulated you. They have played you. And then they've thrown you away and they have erased you like you never existed. So you have to get up. Get up. Get out of the road. Okay, guys? And my final message, tits up. Tits up. Good posture. tits up to the sky without being roadkill. Different kind of tits up. We don't want the possum dead in the road, tits up to the sky. We want the Mr. T choir instructor. You're up there singing your heart out. Great posture. Head held high. Tits up. It's going to be okay. All right. Thanks for listening, guys, and tolerating my weird sense of humor. I love you all. Bye.